By the mid-80s, there were three or four local groups that had formed in New York, Philadelphia, where I worked, and New Mexico, interestingly, concerned either about urban churches or about rural churches in New Mexico. But by the late 80s, there was a realization that we needed really a national center. And so we thought hard about our name, and we wanted to make sure that it was, we used the word partners for Sacred Places to make it clear that folks who cared about our faith communities, people who cared about old buildings, people who cared about neighborhoods, all of them could come together under the rubric of partners for Sacred Places.
You made a point that many religious buildings of various faiths are in a little bit of economic trouble these days because of changing neighborhoods and demographics and so forth. What did you learn about these sacred places, or these churches, synagogues, wherever they might be, that maybe most people or even you didn't even know before?
Well, I think it's taken us 20 years to fully appreciate that sacred places have a social service value, they have an economic value, they serve everybody. They are de facto community centers. We've done a lot of research working with the University of Pennsylvania, and we've looked at lots of congregations randomly selected, and we looked hard at, well, how are these buildings used during the week, and are these places really benefiting everybody, not just their own members? And one of the things that really helps shape our approach is the finding that 4 out of 5 of the people who come through our sacred places are to be served are not members. And I think that says very powerfully to a funder or to a business leader or to a mayor, oh my goodness, this is really a center for all of us. So this helps unify us in a way. You know, you don't have to be active in that tradition to care about that building. And that's really kind of led us to where we are today.
You even mentioned that there is a positive environmental effect of houses of worship.
Yeah, we've looked at 54 ways in which a church or synagogue strengthens its community. A lot of it's the way they spend their money, the people they hire, the people they draw into the neighborhood. All those are very powerful. But there's another a piece of this, which is the open space or the green space a church may have. It may just be a little bit of lawn and a couple of trees, or it may be a graveyard. Well, that has positive impact. For example, if you've got some green space and some trees, it will reduce the water runoff that the city will have to process through the sewer system.
Now that you're armed with all this information, how do you use it?
A small congregation needs help. And whether it's a government agency that might provide help or it's a secular foundation that might help, we want to go to a place like Covington or Cincinnati and say, you know, there's this public value and we should all step in to help these the best of these places. But we also want to teach the congregation how to measure that value and tell its own story. If we can teach congregations how to discover and articulate this really valuable public, you know, contribution it makes, they would be likelier to attract new funding, new donors, new friends. Now, that's part of our job too, by the way, is not just to help them discover their halo effect, but it's also to help them learn how to find the people that would care.
Bob Yeager is president and co-founder of the Philadelphia-based nonprofit organization, Partners for Sacred Places. He spoke recently at a meeting of the Covington Business Council. I'm Steve Hirschberg.